Do you know what it is? It's because
this is quite interesting now. So if you click on floors, it shows you your elevation going up and down.
Right.
And I think that's because where I live in Hemiolk, you have to go up a hill to get out. So even though I'm driving, the movement of the car...
No. I think it's intelligent enough to know to not
Well, apparently, I did stuff... Oh, no, 4 in the morning, that makes sense. And then at 3... I don't know. Maybe it's slight hills. Who knows? But I did 5,200 steps on my day off.
What about Wednesday?
Wednesday, I did 6 kilometres, 8,500 steps, 60 floors.
That's weird, isn't it? So I did 5.3k, 7,951 steps. So it's not far off yours, but only 11 floors.
I am taller than you, though.
I don't think that's...
So when I get up out of chairs... Why are you on about sleep analysis? I don't have it on my. No.
Mine's just that's default.
No, that's poor tech hygiene. Ah, did you know if you go into it,
sleep analysis.
No, if you click on the little man in the top, or it might be a lady on yours. Mm. You can put your blood type in your Fitzpatrick skin type. I'm going to click on them. Apps allowed it. Description. Ah, Fitzpatrick scale is a rating of your skin type based on your skin's tendency to burn and ability to tan.
That's amazing.
And then it says Mayo Clinic. There's a link to the Mayo Clinic. Right, this is not to do with... It's interesting, but it's not to do with... Actually, do you get a tan?
Do I get a tan? Yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. The Forest School support group on Facebook, somebody did put about this, didn't they? No, it was you. Ha! Oh, look, yeah, it's faded a bit. But there's my tan. Like,
where's your tan? Gemma's showing me her foot. She's got her foot on the table, 6 inches from my face.
It's faded
You've got
a bit.
Very...
beautiful feet.
I was going to say short and wide.
Troll feet. They need to be short and wide. For, you know, walking on.
No, short and wide describes a stump.
I didn't bind my feet as a child to give me, you know, little dainty, you know. Yeah. Oh, they're pretty. Oh my God, the stench.
Well ventilated forest.
I need to return my boots to the place where I got them from, but I'm a bit worried about putting them in the post because I think that it's going to like trigger some like alarms.
You think they'll come around and say you've sent a very smelly package?
Yeah, it won't even get to the destination because sniffer dogs will like intercept it.
Sniffer dogs are going to die.
It's still lingering. Sorry. The wind's died down now. It was all
That's good. So the smell will stay.
Yeah, well, that's why I feel like. Yeah. Right. Hi. Bye. Good morning.
Hello. This is all relevant.
It is. Ooh. It is. Well, the reason, because you discovered that your iPhone was tracking all your movements, and so it's very interesting
and listening
to
and telling
the government everything, which is true because my friend works for Amnesty and she knows all that kind of shizzle and all of the like, oh no, that's just an urban myth.
Oh, that's I got true. One the other day. I got true. One where we were watching GPs Behind Closed Doors because it's incredible, like you need 3 brain cells to watch it.
Yeah.
But there was someone getting... No, we weren't. We were watching something about like cosmetic surgery on iPlayer and something. And my wife asked me, she was like, well, is there anything you would get? Because I'm not a very...
attractive person. So is there anything...
is there anything you would keep? That's what she asked. She said, is there anything you think is good about this that you think is worth saving?
What are you getting done first?
So yeah, she said, what would you get? Because I don't really care about what I look like, even like in that sense, like, you know. And I said, oh, I've got slightly gappy teeth. Now you're looking at my teeth.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Anyway.
I've got slightly gappy teeth. I don't like my teeth. And anyway, I was literally just had a conversation with her about it. And then...
And then your phone.
One of my recommended adverts or something was for like teeth whitening and teeth straightening, and it all came up, and I was like, well.
Is it confirmation bias though? Was it already there? Like, you don't know. One thing that is less likely was that my friend and her partner were talking about getting pregnant, and were talking about like embryo implantation and sperm donation, and that came up on their phone. That's pretty random. Yeah, like, this is the sperm bank you could use.
There's a thing on the Hello Internet podcast they were talking about. So, it would be the equivalent of me being very interested in a subject, you watching any YouTube video, and because you socialise with me, no, you don't, you work with me, it recommending something that I like to you, because it got the jump to, like, you hang around with Lewis, like, so if it recommended you, like, World's Strongest Man or something that you would never watch.
But how does it not?
I don't know. Anyway,
but the government, it was interesting. The government, right? The government.
Yeah.
So I used to work with a guy. I'm like, ooh, how much do I say out loud? That's fine. He told me. At the Science Museum, I used to work with this guy. And he was at Imperial College doing, like, basically rocket science.
Right.
And literally, people approached him in the courtyard of the university and said, this is your name? And he was like, yeah. No, you live here? Yeah. Your mum's name is this? Yeah. Your dad's name is this? Yeah. Come with us. And took him to, like, an office. And we're like, we want to basically, like, ask him loads of questions. Said they were from the government. And MI5 or MI6, one of those, I can't remember the difference between the two. Anyway, full James Bond. They offered him the James Bond job, and he was like, because he had gone through all air cadets and stuff through his life.
Right.
And really wanted to be a fighter pilot, but it turned out he was too tall
for
the ejector seat.
Yeah.
And so his dreams were dashed, and he did rocket science instead. But anyway, they were like, and so they said, yeah, we want to offer you this James Bond job. And he was like, I'm too tall for the ejector seat. He was like, no, you don't get it. We will, like, tailor make your plane for you. And he was like, what? And then got along, and then honestly, they had files on his, like, granddad, his great granddad. They were like, everyone's got, like, a black file and a red file. One of them is all the helpful things that you have done that might be helpful to your country. So they had all the stuff about air cadets. They knew
his
amazing exam
in?
Results. No, because wait. And then they had dodgy stuff. So they were like, yeah, but your granddad was in the Communist Party. So tell us about that. Are you involved in that? Blah, 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 blah. And they knew everything. And it was amazing. And the reason I know it was true is because I knew him, and he wasn't the type of person to make any of that stuff up. And he turned down the job because he was like, would I have to kill people? And they were like, yes.
Okay.
I don't want to do that.
Immediate question.
Yeah.
Do you think he was, not to undermine that story at all, which was, let's say, farcical.
It's real.
It's not. I think he was trying to sleep with you.
No.
Hey, Gemma, let me tell you
about
this.
He's not that kind of guy.
You might not think he's that type of guy. Anyway.
He wouldn't have been a James Bond because he was so, like, innocent and naive. Like, he was like a tiny child in an 18-year-old's body.
Sure.
Anyway, okay. Yeah. We're talking about birds, actually, today. Not
MI5. You're going to quiz me.
I'm going to quiz you. Okay.
So, go on, explain what we've got.
We've got the bird book, okay? And the bird book is called Birdsong, 150 British and Irish Birds and Their Amazing Sounds by Jonathan Elphick, Jan Pedersen and Lars Svensson. But and at the time, you could get it on eBay fairly cheaply, and now I don't think you can. I think it's maybe out of print or something. I bought two, and one of the little mechanism thingies didn't work. But the good thing is it's got all the birds, and it's got a little player that you can play the bird song on.
I'm trying not to look at it.
So I'm going to play one. I'm going to play the song, and then I'm going to... Should I start easy?
Yeah, and if I don't get it...
I'm going to give you some clues.
Give me some background on
it. Okay, cool.
I think you need to hold it relatively near to the...
I will. I'm just... And so you have to put the number in of the bird.
I've got this bird's number right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh. That's one of its sounds, and this is the other one.
Okay, so it's a corvid.
Yeah.
It's either a crow or a raven.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't think it was... See, that first one sounds more raven-y. I'm going to go raven.
It is!
Yeah!
Yes.
That's quite a distinctive.
It is.
I mean, they're all distinctive if you know them, but...
Yeah.
As we know, you could have played a recording of somebody talking, because ravens can imitate human speech.
What were you saying about ravens gossiping today?
Oh, so ravens do have flocks.
You can probably turn around now if you want
thanks.
To.
Ravens do have flocks where they will basically tell stories about each other. but that they will also eavesdrop on another flock's gossip to work out if John's just been kicked out, or if, you know, Mike's in trouble because he didn't share that thing, and now that, you know, so they'll listen, and but they only want to know about social standings, so it's a pecking order thing. But they don't have to see it happen. They can hear about it and then know that, like, I don't need to impress Mike anymore because Mike's out of favour. I need to now impress...
That's amazing, isn't it?
Steve. These are very generic names for ravens.
Yeah, amazing. Persecuted, of course, for many years.
Yeah.
Having a bit of a comeback now.
Too clever. They're too clever and scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of things that say that...
Killing lambs and stuff, isn't it?
That's well, there's lots of things that... So, ravens and corvids in general can... you know, like Rube Goldberg machines? Mm. So it's like a marble, pushes down a slide, do a thing. Corvids, and particularly ravens, can look at Rube Goldberg machines or at puzzles and do no trial and error and know exactly what they have to do to press... They can look at it backwards and, like, say they're behind the glass and it's like... You know, they need the tyre to flip, which needs the thing to go, and then the only thing they have is, like, an access to, say, 5 buttons, and they can look at it and go, well, it's that button, because that button's connected to a spring that's connected to that, which is connected to... So they are, they can hypothesise and...
Yeah,
very amazing birds.
Have you ever seen Chris Packham's Game of Crows?
No, but I want to now.
I think it's Chris Packham. Or somebody like that. Yeah. And they go full on Game of Thrones references, lots of expensive idents type things. And he is doing an intelligence test between crows and ravens to see which is the most intelligent.
Oh.
I haven't watched the end, so I don't know. He just, like, sets on lots of challenges, and as far as I got, like, the crow won one of them, the raven won the other. So it's all in the balance, which one's more intelligent.
Wow.
I don't know. Are you ready for the next bird?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hit me.
Then you're supposed to
You ready?
Then you're supposed to go, ow!
Oh, we'll cut that. Ah! Perfect.
Ready?
Is it just one call?
That's it. Do you want some clues?
Well, let me have a guess and then you have a clue. So I'm going to go... No, I've got nothing.
Okay. It is related to a raven. It's not a crow. It is elusive and shy, but then when you do see them, they're very colourful.
Oh, a jay.
Yes. A jay.
A jay. Another corvid.
Yes. And they eat eggs, and like magpies and crows. There's a magpie in our garden at the moment, just visiting nest after nest after nest. So you can just see the magpie, like, flying around, and then you hear the alarm calls of the different birds that it's terrorising. It's quite sad. But yeah, that's a jay.
Ah.
Yeah.
I hadn't realised until I started listening to a book on ravens how big the corvid family was.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of in my head thought crows and ravens were their own thing, you know, big black birds, and then maybe that magpies were a different thing, and you know.
Yeah.
I have heard, this is my favourite little... I can't remember where I got it from now. But someone told me the difference between a crow and a raven, if you're not sure, is if you see a bird and you think it might be a raven, that's a crow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see a bird and you go, Jesus, what is that cat doing?
Mm.
That's a raven.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are
huge,
enormous. Mm. But also that ravens are very, very elusive and, you know, don't... They're not a bird.
They also do crazy aerial stunts. They do acrobatics in mating time, so they do all the crazy tumbling and stuff. Jays are good at planting forests, aren't they? Because they take acorns they drop them, and then the ones that they hide them, the ones they don't eat later, become oak trees. And they have a little pouch under their tongue where they can store loads of acorns. So they... You can see them flying past with an acorn in their mouth, and then they've got more in a little weird pouch, like a hamster, but under their...
Like tongue. A pelican?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
How weird.
Mm.
There's a place near Dartmoor where they built a big stone circle on the top of a level plain they couldn't work out why... a ring of oak trees had grown around the outside of the stone circle. This is only, like, you know, 30 years ago, let's say. And it turned out that Jays had been picking up acorns from the woods nearby and had learnt to drop acorns and snails onto the rocks to smash them. And the ones that were missing were landing outside and creating this ring of... And, but they it took them a while to notice, so they just had this sort of weird sacred ring of oaks.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
So great.
Are you really doing
it?
Oh, God. Right. Our courses are great, though. We've got four courses coming up in the next year. We've got cooking, we've got storytelling, music and drama, we've got an introduction to whittling, and we've got an outdoor CPD day. And they're all very easily accessible things. And what we're trying to focus on with them is we've got quite a... scope of knowledge in all, as I say, depth of knowledge to each of those subjects. That's why we're not doing just any random subjects, it's those particular ones. And the idea being that we've said we want to, when people book in, we ask them to write a little bit about, you know, what their background is, because we want to tailor those courses to the people that are coming. So if you have already made spoons in and you turn up and we've got loads of people that have already made spoons, then we're not going to sit there and teach you to make spoons. We'll go, right, here's some other stuff we've got in the woods, let's explore that, let's make this personalised learning. So, as you probably know from listening to the podcast, we're very into personalised learning and learner-led curriculums, and so that's exactly what our teaching courses are. We will meet you wherever you are, not geographically, you need to come to us, but we will meet you spiritually and skill-wise where you are, and through the day go on a bit of a journey together and extend some things.
And therefore anybody, like people involved in Forest School or people who work with children, and some of them are, to be honest, open to just parents or people who have an interest. So especially the cooking one, in fact all of them really, if you just like have an interest in telling stories or making music outdoors,
or cooking or eating,
if you like eating, I would definitely recommend the cooking course. If you like playing around with an old stick, or actually a new stick, then I recommend the whittling one. And it's all about play. They're very playful, fun courses, light-hearted, nice. It's a nice day. There is coffee and tea and biscuits as well.
Brilliant.
That's very important. There's always biscuits.
Right. Shall we get back to the main waffle then? Are you going to play again?
Wait.
Okay. Very cool.
Right. I'm going to queue up the next one.
Okay. Is it another Corvid?
No.
Ah.
No, it isn't.
Is it yellow?
Wait.
Okay. Sorry. Go. Ah!
So loud, that's like hurting my ear.
So this is the one that we have said before is teacher, because that's what's burned into our brains from being teachers. And it is a great tit.
Yay,
look at that. So smashing that one, mate. Tell me about great tits.
It is yellow, black head, bigger than a blue tit. And the...
How big is bigger than a blue tit?
How big? 13.5 to 15 centimetres in length. Impossible to confuse with any other bird, sporting a glossy black cap, collar and throat with a big white cheek patch and a yellow underside bisected by a black stripe. The black stripe is wider on males and skinnier on females.
Oh.
And the back is olive green with bluish wings and a white wingband. I was going to say waistband.
Could be a waistband. It makes me think of that thing, if a bird wore trousers, what would it look like?
I've often wondered that. Every day I say to myself,
have you not seen the question? It went round the internet of like, if a dog wore trousers, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's would the dog wear trousers on its back legs and up over to what you would consider its hips,
yeah,
with its tail sticking out of a hole in the back,
yeah,
right? Or would dog trousers actually be four leg holes and they would come up? So if you're looking at a dog on all fours, that it would be trousered up to the middle, right, with its whole head, back and tail out.
Right. That, I mean, that is just a great question. in Japan, where you can buy dog nappies, former.
It's
answer.
Like humans.
It is like just on the back legs.
Like humans that have gone on the four legs.
It's not. You don't.
You can buy chicken nappies. Did you know that?
What?
Talking about birds, you can buy chicken nappies in America for your indoor chickens.
I want one because I want my hens in the house because they like coming in and I like them. But then
I watched
two on the floor.
One about. Do you know about? Do you know Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not Yom Kippur. It's a Jewish festival.
Yeah.
Where traditionally you sacrifice a chicken. You wave the chicken around your head multiple times and you chant something that says, I'm very sorry God for all the sins I've done this year, please take this chicken instead of me, and then you ritualistically slit the chicken's throat. But because they're not bred for meat or for any other purpose than to be killed, they're all the genetic rejects from factory farming.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like chicken. There was this chicken, and her beak didn't align. Her top beak went left, and her bottom beak went right, so she couldn't eat anything.
Yeah.
And they, because they're so genetically wrong, these chicken, these people, Jewish people, buy these chickens in New York for like $1, swing it around their head, and then they go, cool, I've saved, you know, I've done the thing this year, all my sins are gone. These people had to go. Apparently, it's very. You're not allowed to just go and buy them. They want to see you kill it there. So these people said, "Well, we want to go and buy some chickens and to rescue them." And they weren't allowed to. They were like, "No. If you're not killing it, we're gonna." So she had to like wave it around her head and pretend, and then put it in her jacket coat and walk off. And then they raised this chicken in their flat in New York, and it's very, very moving. If you look up,
aww.
I think it's called Penelope. I think Penelope the rescue chicken.
Aww.
It's very heartwarming.
Aww.
Chicken nappies.
That's great. I need a chicken nappy.
I'm gonna go
on eBay just after this.
Cool.
Do you want some great tit facts?
Always.
Yeah, great tit facts.
Yeah. You've been on my search history.
Well, we found a nest this morning. And I think it was a great nest.
You found a nest this morning,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, just over there, all like broken up. Moss, feathers, wool, and hair. And the hair, some of the hair was badger hair.
Ooh.
And I call it hair. If you feel it, it is really hairy, you know, wiry. It's not like, ooh, lovely furry badger. It's like hairy.
Lady I worked with who was Swedish had long discussions about which animals had hair and which had fur.
Yes.
And when is it horse hair and horse? Does a horse have hair? Does a horse have fur?
Yeah.
But if you find one, that's a dog hair.
Yeah.
But a dog doesn't have. You don't say a dog's hairy. You say a dog's got fur.
Depends on the type of dog, I reckon.
Like it's an interesting, you know. But when if someone says the wrong thing, it's very jarring.
Yes.
This isn't to do with birds.
Apparently, great tits are among the most studied of all the world's birds. A major research project managed by Oxford University has investigated many aspects of the bird's biology continuously since 1947. Ingenious at solving complex puzzles, just like crows. Foil caps of milk bottles to get the cream out in the olden days. Right, I've got a tricky one.
A tricky one? What am I on? 3 for 3?
I don't think you're going to get this one. We have had one here, but then we debated what it was. So
now I'm not getting this from the noise. I'm just racking my brain to think what have we had here that we've debated. So I'm gonna say willow tit.
No, that's what you thought it
coal
was.
Coal tit.
No, it's not a tit.
Can you give me some more information then?
So you're thinking of the right thing, I think. So we found a nest, a kid found a nest in the roots of a tree.
Yeah.
And we could see the parent bird on the nest, couldn't we? We could see
yeah.
her eye and through the little hole, and she was like looking at us. And we were like, oh, what bird nests like that in the roots of a tree? And it's got a black eye and like yellow around its eye.
Yeah.
And it is a wood warbler.
Ah, I wouldn't have got that.
No. So, wood warbler, and it makes its nest.
Can we hear the noise again? The now that we know it's a wood warbler.
So, a similar size to a willow warbler, but more compact.
A willow warbler?
Than a willow warbler or a chiffchaff. And they're more brightly coloured with a bright lemon yellow face and a pure white belly. And inhabits mature deciduous woodland, especially oak and beech woods with a high canopy and sparse ground cover. Feeds on insects and larvae. The female builds her nest, a domed nest of leaves, moss, roots, grass on the ground, often against a slope or under a cover of a tussock bush. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They arrive from Africa in late April and early May and leave early, undertaking their return migration in July and August. So they're not here for that long.
Gonna struggle come Brexit, aren't they?
God, it's gonna be tough for them. Actually, I've got one more now.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
This is... Sounds to me like a bicycle, like a squeaky bicycle. Oh, who's that?
That's an actual bird.
That's a wren. That's an actual... Yeah, can you see it on the woodpile, look?
Oh, yeah. No, she's on the fire pit. Yeah, noisy for a little bird.
Yeah, they're so noisy.
Oh, Jenny.
Oh, she's going under the fire pit. I'll do a wren song in a minute. This one, I think, sounds like somebody on a squeaky bicycle.
Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum.
Very, very hard to spot. The UK's smallest, one of, it's the smallest bird.
Tree creeper?
No.
Puffin?
Can look a bit like a hummingbird from a distance.
Oh, is it the ones that we've seen here, we think? Is it a firecrest?
You can get firecrest, this is a goldcrest.
Goldcrest.
Yeah, firecrests are very similar but rarer.
Goldcrest. Tell me about goldcrest.
Goldcrest, smallest bird, often found foraging titlocks in the winter, in perpetual motion, constantly searching for food. And they love conifers. So you know, if you say like, you know, conifer plantations, not great. Yeah. And like, I've got some conifers in my garden that are very like 1970s, not very attractive. But I know that there are goldcrests nesting in there because I can hear them. I've only seen one once. In my garden.
Could just be someone with a rusty bike.
Yeah, I can hear them, unless it is. Build it. So the nest is a tiny deep bowl of moss, lichen and spider's webs, lined with feathers and animal hair and suspended from twigs towards the end of a densely needled branch high up in a spruce, cypress or other conifer. They're mainly resident, but there are some migrants from northern and eastern Europe in winter. Yeah, and it's very beautiful. It's got a gold crown, it looks like. They're very, very pretty. Let's listen to a wren. We have loads of wrens, and they're very, very noisy. Where is she?
I think, in terms of wildlife, I wonder if one of the reasons that we connect and are so aware of birds is because they can just so easily be out of reach, be out of danger from us. That, you know, you can walk through woodland and stuff and there'd be hundreds of birds up above your head. This is a wren.
I can easily tell if it's a wren from the volume. It's super loud, it's a wren. But also there's that bit somewhere, so it'd be like... If it's got that kind of noise in it. There it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're saying they're so easily out of reach.
That they can be... they can be, you know, in the same lateral space as humans without being in danger.
Mm.
Whereas lots of wildlife has to hide and... I'm thinking primitively.
Yeah.
You know, all the large and small mammals hide and all the... But birds can sit, you know, some of them, three foot out of your arm's reach and be very comfortable knowing, you can't get me here, this is fine. And so we have more observations of them and more interactions.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to pretend you're not there. Mm-hmm. To interact with a deer or to interact with a badger or a fox, you almost have to pretend that you don't exist or you know, go to efforts to camouflage yourself.
Well, although bird watchers will do that too, aren't they?
Oh, they do. But what I mean is, as a like an almost entry level.
Yeah.
You don't need to be as conspicuous to have interactions with birds.
You can also watch them for signs of danger as well. Listen to them. So if you hear them going nuts and doing loads of alarm calls, like probably previous back in the day when we did have more predators ourselves, we can use them as an alarm system for ourselves. They'll spot stuff before we do, and notice that they're. Yeah, signals.
It's definitely something that has developed, not developed, grown the longer I've done this job and been in the same, particularly I think being in the same woodland all the time, is my inclination to completely stop talking to someone if I hear a noise, or hear a bird song that I'm not expecting or that has come into my...
consciousness,
and it jars now, I think, in the same way that there's a good bit in that we're both listening to the Ruby Wax book, No Brainer, and there was an example where they're saying at a dinner party, you hear someone, even though you're having a conversation, but you hear someone across the room use your name, and so the fact that you've heard your name means you weren't completely listening to the conversation you were having. Part of your brain was always aware of you need to be picking stuff up, and that has built up, I think, as I've been doing this, to be like, well, I am now always scanning for birdsong or hearing it and thinking like, oh, that's noteworthy, I should pay attention to that, in a way that I didn't when I started. It was like, listen to the children and listen to who I'm talking to.
And
I do think that it's a little part, you know, it may come across as a little bit rude sometimes, if you just immediately stop talking to someone. But sometimes it's just about showing that that I believe it's important, whatever it is. And quite often people are excited to listen to birds.
Yeah.
But they, you know, like they want a way in, so they want you to go, can you hear that? That's that's a something. It's over there, and it sounds like this, and to give them, and then they're like, oh yeah, I can hear that. That's something. And how often do we tune into just our hearing?
Oh yeah, completely.
You know, as an activity.
Yeah.
It's good for not just the children, you know, for everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like I did quite well in that quiz. You did. I did surprisingly well, I think. But I do wonder now, because I would like to do the same for you next week, and I wonder if you have taken some of the more easy ones.
No, some in there. Okay, yeah,
well, we'll have to see next week. Let us know in the comments how many you got right.
Yeah.
If you did the quiz with us, with me, did you beat me? Did anybody get more than me? Did anybody get none of them? What can you just say the name? Just read out the thing of the book again, in case anybody wants to swat up for next week.
Birdsong by Jonathan Elphick, spelt Elphick. If you do manage to find it somewhere on the internet, well done you. I haven't looked recently, but I did try to get another copy just for home and
couldn't find it. Okay, well, maybe that's one to watch then.
Yeah,
to keep an eye out for. And I assume that this it's British song. It's British and Irish birds, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I found it on eBay, £50, man. Well, ours was like 15.
Well, if anybody would like ours for a bargain, 49. No,
no, I would not sell it.
But I presume there are other books for people who are. I looked up. Our audience is something like 40% in the UK.
Really?
About a quarter of our listeners are in America, and nearly a quarter are in Canada. And then there was 1% in Spain.
Aww.
So if you're the person or people that listen in Spain,
hi. Hola.
Hello, hola. and next week I shall quiz you.
Okay.
With some difficult birds.
Cool.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.